Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Hello, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I am doing well. I am so pleased that I got you on the call this time. I know you don't want to do this, but I am so pleased.
Oh gosh, I was like, okay, I have to do this for Aaron this time, even though I don't like to talk to people, but it's okay.
Oh, you don't have to. Just like when you listen back to this podcast, just push mute here. And, you know, you don't have to listen to this little segment.
Okay.
All right. So, awesome. Welcome back. How many does this make for you on chat moderation?
I'm not exactly sure, but I think that it's like number 4 for me.
Nice. All within Oakland Ed, or have you done other chats ever, you know, elsewhere?
No, only Oakland Ed.
Good. And so... you put out a hashtag before this, and it was like AI or AL chat. What was that?
Well, it was Alabama Education okay. chat because I join a lot of their chats. Now, I'm not real sure if any of them actually joined in. They had told me that they were going to like a week prior. But I never really, the chat got so busy, I couldn't really tell if any of them were there.
It was on fire.
But anyway, that's who it was. I was just trying to get Alabama friends in on the chat.
Well, I love it. We were speculating last week, and I thought, I think that's AL. So awesome. So this chat, you had me a little fooled by the name of it. It was hard. This was a hard chat.
Yeah.
You knew that.
Yeah,
you saucy little creature. You knew
it was. It was because I had recently read some research over not just stories behind behavior, but also teachers' perception of the behavior. And so I thought, oh my goodness, that is how I need to angle my chat. Is because we never really consider how teachers bring a certain perspective to the behavior and how we react to the behavior based off of how our day has gone. So we always talk about how students behave a certain way based off their day. Like maybe they had a bad morning. Maybe, you know, mom did this or dad did that or whatever. Maybe they didn't have breakfast. Well, what about if the teacher didn't? And what about if the teacher had a bad morning? So what are we bringing to how we react to their behavior?
Gosh, and I know that I've said before, you know, gosh, I'm here with a bad attitude today, but then I continue to do my job because it's my job, and, you know, gosh, if I'm short, it's probably my fault sometimes, so.
Right, exactly.
Wow, well, it was really good. Did you have a favorite question of the night or one that you were, like, really hoping to hear some good stuff about?
I think that basically was my favorite question of if we are going to sit here and say students bring, oh goodness, I can't find my word right now, but it was the question about teachers bringing different perceptions, you know, and perspectives to the behavior. And so how we need to actually step back and make sure that we're, you know, not adding to it because of our mood that day. And so I just, that was my favorite question.
Yeah. Do you keep a snack drawer in your classroom?
Do I keep a what?
A snack drawer.
Oh, yes. I keep a blue tub. Yes, it's actually a tub. It's full of snacks because I have students come to me all the time that didn't eat breakfast and didn't make it to school in time to eat breakfast or, yeah, oh, my goodness, yes. We have food anytime we need to have food.
Well, I was pleased at, you know, all the tweets that came out with, you know, food or snacks or, you know, Pop-Tarts in the drawer. And
yes, exactly.
That was fun to see. So what's next? You know, how's the school year going? And do you have anything on the horizon that you're researching or looking into?
I don't at this moment, only because I'm feeling very overwhelmed with my current life, and so I haven't been able to start researching anything different yet. But I definitely will, and I absolutely love doing the Oakley Ed Chats because I always feel like I kind of bring a new perspective to things, and so I'm always looking for a hot topic that can kind of maybe open up teachers' eyes, not students, but teachers' eyes to, you know, maybe we need to, you know, step back and see how we're handling this. And so, yeah, there would definitely be more.
I look forward to it. This one, the last one was great. I can't remember the ones before, but I've, you know, only started paying really, really close attention in the last about year, so...
No, I mean, I just did my topic was just trying to get us to, it's so hard when a student, when you initially see a bad behavior, you so just want to just react. And so my whole chat was basically like, please don't just be reactive and just be receptive to what their story. Just calm down, let them tell you what's going on, and then... You know, and then deal with it, you know, whatever it is. And so that was the whole purpose of it, was to hopefully try and get teachers to be less reactive.
Right, right. Well, I really appreciate it. I think it's something that we all probably needed to hear and experience. And those questions, so hard. So hard. All right, girl. Well, have a good night. And
all right, you too.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Welcome back to Oakley Said, the official Oakley Ed podcast.
Hey,
how's it going,
right,
this week?
You know, it's going. I'm deserting writing this morning, so I'm taking a small break to record this.
Yeah, I grabbed your photograph looking over the book.
You did?
Pretty awesome.
It's all, check it out. I'll show it to you again. It's all about case studies, because that's what Oakley Ed is. We're a case.
You won. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding. Hey. This week's Twitter chat, what, you were going to say something?
Ask me where I am.
Where are you?
I'm at this little coffee shop in Oklahoma City. Actually, it's in Edmond, called Perk Place. Guess what?
Guess what, what, what?
Well, if you show up between 7 and 8 in the morning and get a coffee, they take the price of the coffee and donate it towards a local charity.
That's stinking awesome. And who's being supported today?
That is a great question. They're supporting, I got to look at the wall, the Walk to End Alzheimer's here in Oklahoma City.
Aww.
Yeah.
My grandfather had Alzheimer's before passed.
We frequently know somebody that has one, or more increasingly, I guess, as it were.
It'd be nice to just know more about why, or, you know, how to keep from losing your memories.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm super excited that Kim did an interview.
Oh, yes. I was so excited, too. She was so reluctant, and but she tweeted it out there, and so I said, you have to do it. You tweeted it.
Yeah.
You have to.
That's awesome.
Anyway, so yeah, you heard her just a second ago, and we had a pretty awesome chat this week. It was the stories behind the behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think this chat was going to be coming into it?
I had a feeling it may be something along the lines of, we don't know what's going on at home or socially or elsewhere when kids show up into our classrooms.
Yeah, I kind of thought the same thing. I was not expecting as much self-reflection mm-hmm. in this chat as mm-hmm. there was.
So. Kim cheated.
No, I don't think she cheated. No, I think she just really held her cards close to, you know, close to
the
chest.
Here's how she cheated.
Okay.
She would put like 4 or 5 questions on each question.
Oh, that's
she cheated.
There's this, and that. Here's my dissertation. What do you think about child hunger? I'm just kidding.
So, why don't you take us into question one?
Well, question one.
Questions one.
Think back to when you were in school. Think of that one teacher that a lot of kids misbehaved for. Now ask yourself what you have in common with this teacher and how are you different? Yikes! I said something along the lines of, I actually like kids, and so I hope the only thing that is the same is that we were both teachers.
I never felt like I was in that class.
Well, I was in that class.
But maybe it was just me being happy-go-lucky.
And I was that kid who was misbehaving.
Ugh, Aaron, I'm rolling my eyes virtually at you right now.
I picked Vanessa on this tweet, though. She is at @bparizzi. She said, loved what we were taught, but I try to hook the students into the subject and get students to fall in love too, or see the relevance.
Right.
She said, #, I was bored, I was bad.
Right.
I love that because I love hooking. Hooking is my favorite, and I will spend more time searching for a hook than for other resources so that I can just get them to dive into the subject.
You know, if we can just get these ding-dong kids to dive in, I mean, these brilliant students, it makes the difference, doesn't it? I mean, honestly.
I love your tweet that you picked.
Yeah, this is great. So this is our good friend John Bennett, Professor Emeritus from Virginia, and he is at JCBJR, and he said, I'm old. Dirt was clear, not dirty yet. Nothing but lectures except lab courses and phys ed, but no misbehaving that I remember. So I find that interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, he is a retired educator, and you don't get to be Professor Emeritus without basically putting your career into whatever that field is at your university. So he's done that. And I think it's interesting here that he talks about nothing but lectures. And I think there's a lot of places where it's still nothing but lectures.
Yes.
No, I don't say lectures are bad.
Something to say about that.
I think there's a time and place for lectures. But when it's the end all, do all. But anyway, that's not this chair.
No. But that was a great tweet as well. I liked that dirt was clear. It wasn't dirty yet.
Yeah. I had it. I may have chuckled some snot out of my nose when I read that one. So question two, the behavior is communication of a need not being met, hungry, sleepy, homeless, relationship issues with peers, etc. How are you supporting your students with these issues? How are you not?
So, sheesh. I mean, that was one of the hard questions. You have to sit and think over your entire roster. And then you think, you know, a couple of kids will come to mind, and how are you supporting them? And I do think they need more supports than, you know, some of the other kids. We talk about equity and everything else and these buzzwords, but, you know, that kid needs more love, more support, more grace than maybe any of the other kiddos around. And so do you do that? You know, do you give more of yourself to that kid than any other kid? And that was a question that was hard for me.
I wonder too if it just as a system we could handle these situations better by providing overall wellness for children, no matter.
So what do you mean by that?
Well, like, let's just talk about hungry, sleepy, homeless, relationship issues. What if we had a school that we could actually, like, counselors could counsel, where there's maybe healthcare a couple of times a week to check with kids.
I saw New York City just became the largest school district to offer free lunch to all students.
Yeah, let's feed every kid that walks in the door breakfast and lunch.
That would be.
You know, let's develop things where we can work out relationships issues with peers, you know, as it regards to bullying or as it regards to conflict. And let's make that a part of the education process in general instead of just fly by the seat of our pants emergency reaction type things.
Right. You were at the iPad Palooza.
Yeah.
And do you remember Andre Dottie's
Stay Woke.
Ignite Speech.
It was really good.
Stay Woke. But it was about a kid who just needed to sleep. They mm-hmm. just had one of those days that week, and he pushed above and beyond for that kid
right.
and made sure that kid got sleep and didn't have to eat lunch when every kid ate lunch and everything. And it turned bad at the end before it, you know, before he delivered the impactful message of Stay Woke. But mm-hmm. But that guy went above and beyond for this kid, and we just need to remember that a little bit of extra for that kid could keep that kid in class
right.
versus, you know, yelling at him and kicking him out.
Right. So. Well, and that student too called him in the middle of the night, if I remember correctly. And what if we had a system where students could do that, but at the same time, when they were in school the next day, they could feel comfortable enough with going to that crisis counselor or that principal or that teacher the second they get to school and go, look, this is what happened last night. I cannot function.
Yeah. But being here is possibly the safest
right.
place for that kiddo to be.
Right.
So you know, staying home may not be the option.
Right. So let's try and meet all those needs.
Exactly.
So who'd you
exactly.
pick?
I picked Rhonda Schroeder on this one, and she said, three questions asked before even dealing with an issue. Have you eaten? Where did you sleep last night? How did you get to school today? And gosh, if you just ask those three questions before dealing with a kid who cusses at you in class,
mm-hmm.
dealing with a kid who, you know, throws his book off the table, dealing with a kid who hasn't turned in his homework even,
mm-hmm.
If you ask those three questions, maybe you get a little bit more of a story.
Indeed, and yeah, big time. That's a really good one. I went with Juliet Deaton, who is at Jules forever. She said, as a kindergarten teacher, I have fed kids, washed kids in a sink, sewn on buttons, and given that love and attention they need, anything necessary. And what was great was, what it was interesting was, that was picked up by Jerry Blumengarten, who
yes,
is
I saw
at
he
Cyberman
got
in 1. Yeah, and he said, know each student and be observant. And then he shared his body language page and his classroom management page. So
yeah.
I thought that was pretty exciting.
And he has so many pages. Teachers, if you have not heard of this man, if you have
mm-hmm.
not visited his page, his website, you need to, A, follow this guy, Jerry
right.
Blumengarten.
Cyberman 1.
Yeah, and then go to his webpage and look at the vast collection of resources this guy has thrown together for anybody who wants to come upon his page.
Is there a place to do that in high school? Is there a place to do that in grade school? Is there a place to do that in relation to school? He's got a page for that. Are you a parent?
Really
There's
does.
A page for that. Do you teach physical education? Page for that. Coach's wife? Page for that. I believe he has a page for that.
A coach's wife page?
I think so.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
This guy
stuff.
Is amazing.
He's pretty good.
Well, question 3.
Yes.
When a baby cries, we automatically assume they're hungry, sleepy. I'm going to throw in even need a diaper change, right?
Ooh, yeah.
Okay. When they are school age, all that changes. All that changes is the way they communicate their needs. Why do we assume the worst? Are we being reactive rather than receptive? You know, that was a hard-hitting question for me. You know, and sheesh, I don't even know if this was the question I said sheesh on. There were two. I thought, oh my word, that was hard. They
know.
Still have the same needs.
Probably most of them are out of diapers by the time they get to us.
Right, but maybe the way they're telling us they need a new outfit
mm-hmm.
or they need food or
right.
they need a hug is completely different than crying.
Right, right.
Yeah. I went with Sophia Smart on this one, and she is at @smart_science. She said, love this question, and she's using emojis here, so she's cheating because I'm pretty sure the heart symbol is only one character and
yep.
love is four letters. She says, don't know the A to the question above. Class sizes make it difficult to focus on changing behavior rather than reacting. Needs to be fixed. And I think that is just one small piece. I think she's right. Class sizes do need to change so that we can focus on some of these things. Mm-hmm. I think there's just one piece of the puzzle right there.
When you have more students in that small space, trying to get to know all of them and understand all these backgrounds becomes a pretty big challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I like Mrs. Jackson had to say, and she is at Jackson 5th, 6th. She said, we've seen and been taught to control the behavior. It's almost like we have to say, I'm in charge. And I feel like, to some extent, that's true. I mean, if we're not in charge, how can we teach? I mean, somebody's got to be boss. But at the same time, if that's all you are is boss, it's hard to sometimes make those connections that need to be made. I'm not saying you can't do it, because some bosses are great at being boss and developing. You know what I mean?
Right. No, totally. And I think to a degree we were taught some of these things in a classroom management class at school, and I don't know why I'm using air quotes. Nobody's going to hear that.
they heard it all, Aaron. They just don't see the air quotes. You just did it again. Nobody can see you making that.
Okay. Well, I was making the sound, maybe.
You did the noise,
okay,
but
anyway.
You didn't air quote that time when you made the noise.
Anyway, I think that you could probably spend 3 years going over all the specifics, and you need to condense it down into a one semester class. We get it. But there is a difference between saying rowdy classroom, you know, classroom management, and a kid throwing a desk across the room, classroom management. Mm-hmm. Because what do you do? Right. It's different. One of them, rowdy classroom, maybe higher blood pressure, kid throwing a desk across the room. I mean, you've got to react.
Right.
Make sure you don't overreact, but make sure you don't underreact as well. And you know, what do you do? Those are the hard ones. I think these generalizations are very difficult when you talk about them in a classroom management class. And gosh, only ED certified teachers get a classroom management class. Am I right? I mean,
I think so.
Especially
I had a kid,
all the emergency certified. It would, I mean, I can see why referrals to the office are higher than they've ever been. You know, I mean, I'm not faulting these people. They're probably smarter than I am, some of these alt and emergency certified people. But the classroom management skills might not be there.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I had a kid one time. It almost came to fisticuffs in class, and this kid got up and flipped his desk over and was about to go crazy. And instead of me yelling at him, I'm like, yo, let's go for a walk. And I got him out of the room. We walked around, class continued as normal. I walked with this angry student. We walked around. He calmed down while we chatted on our walk. I said, hey man, you want to work in the hallway for the rest of the class period? When we got back to my room, he said yes. So, you know, did I handle it the best way? I don't know, but I would have dumped fuel on the fire if I would have crawled all over him, probably.
Right,
You know what I mean?
I do. So I'm blessed to be able to teach on 40 acres, and I've had, you know, bad
go
attitudes.
Go run the perimeter.
Well, I had a pile of brush, and we decided we weren't going to burn it where we had put that pile of brush. And so I asked this kiddo he was bad attitude, getting ready to argue, you know, in front of everyone. And I was like, let's go outside. We went outside. I said, I would like you to breathe and move that pile of brush over there. And just being outdoors, I know that I was just giving him something else to do. And, you know, you did great giving him his schoolwork still to do. But this kid just needed to calm down. He needed to be outside, get that fresh air. Sometimes a little exertion of energy will get the, you know, endorphins, the right endorphins flowing back in. He came back in with a perfectly, you know, great attitude and thanked me for giving him the chance to haul my brush. But, you know, sometimes you just gotta fight fire with
calmness.
Baking soda.
Right, indeed.
Yeah.
So here's another question where Kim cheated. Question four. I mean, questions four.
Yes.
Think for a minute about the kid when absent. about the kid when absent gives you a sigh of relief. Is their behavior what you thought of? What are they trying to communicate to you? What need isn't being met? How can you help him or her? How can you change your perception of this student?
Mm-hmm. That seems like a chat right there.
It seems like its own. Not gonna lie, I've had a kid or two who, when they're gone, I'm like, yes, class will go so much smoother today, which indicates behavior.
Yeah. Yeah. So Deborah Thornton, she saw it too. She said, yikes, good question. I don't have that student this year, but in the past, I've just been glad when they were absent. And she said, you know, rethinking. It's hard because you kind of go, okay, today's going to be a different day.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I cheated a couple times myself. So I found a couple tweets here. One by Sarah Nelson.
This.
Yes. And she is at Sarah, mom of three boys. And she said, honestly, the students I've had like this have parents who don't want to parent, but be their friend, which, on the one hand, I arched an eyebrow. Like, this is possibly true. And on the other hand, I'm like, I wonder if we're making assumptions like this all the time. So I thought that was a good thought-provoking tweet in general. And true, I mean, how many times have we just felt, gosh, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree situation?
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes the apple falls from the tree and just rolls away, and now what? So anyway, that was thought-provoking for me. And then I really liked what Christy Cooper, who is at ChrisCoop80, she said, not going to lie, it is a relief when the student who misbehaves is gone so you can reach the rest of the class. And I was like, yes, preach it. And she said, but yes, they are the ones who usually have a rough home life or something going on in their life. It is heartbreaking. And I'm like, yes, preach it again.
Yeah, I mean, I can completely concur with Christy there. You think, oh, I'm going to be able to teach this concept today without, you know, X, Y, and Z happening. So,
right.
Well, question five, Scotty. If there are contributing factors to students' behavior, then couldn't there be contributing factors to how we perceive the behavior? What are some factors that may influence this? Two questions.
She's cheating.
These are great questions.
Yeah, she's asking a lot. And gosh, I mean, how do you find out those contributing factors unless you have some sort of relationship somewhere?
Right. I went with Becca Nixon here. And she is at Miss Nixon 5. She said, past experiences are very influential. Have to remember each person is different. Mm-hmm. And in the moment, it is so hard to remember each person is different.
That's a challenge when you've got 28 kids and three of them are being ding-dongs and it feels like 20 of them are.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But what are some of the contributing factors to those ding-dongisms?
Right.
Yeah.
Because it always feels like there's more going on than there is, usually. Like, if you think about it, you know, your rowdy class and all the craziness that's happening, it may be two kids, but it feels like half, right?
Sure.
I went with Sarah Nelson again. She said, I have a hard time with the bullies. My bias, I would be upset as a mom if my child was his victim, so I don't see underlying cause. And I can understand that, too. You know, when something happens to one of yours, forget underlying causes, man. You just wronged my kid. I'm grumpy, no matter what the underlying cause is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm?
Oh, yeah.
Mm? Questions. I'm telling you, Kim cheated. At your school, are students present when discussing a behavior plan, why or why not? And are students given a voice when it comes to their behavior management?
Four questions, Kimmy.
Dang. I've never really been... I know there's 504 plans which come to behavior, and students are invited to are required to be in those meetings with moms and dads and teachers to discuss behavior plans and plans of improvement. So I know that they have a voice there. But in general, those are the kids like ADHD or some other quote-unquote thing which prevents them. But that's not an every student option. That's a small number of student option.
Right.
But I don't know. In general, I don't know.
So who did you pick for the tweet on this one?
Well, I went with Stephanie Skidmore. She's at S. Grace Kidmore. S. Grace Skidmore, I guess. And she said, depends on those involved. Love the idea of involving them and making that standard.
Kids
should be involved in all of that all along the way.
Yeah.
Even the young ones understand, right?
Oh, yeah. I went with Mr. David Burton on this one, and he is at Mr. Burton.
I hear
Burton
he's a social studies guru.
Guru! He says, as a general practice, no. I saw this in some circumstances, but never as a general practice. Wish it occurred more frequently. And I've seen it. I've seen it a few times, but it's not every time.
Right. It's like that 504. It's all. It's paperwork. It's a team. And it may be a bit easier to do in elementary school, maybe, because you're looking at a smaller number of kids, you know, like somewhere between 20 and 30 kids, maybe a little bit more.
Oh, yeah.
In high school, trying to do that 120 times or 160 times, that's a lot of, I don't know.
Right. No, it's way more difficult. Way more difficult.
It's a challenge.
Yeah. So, question 7. Some contributing factors to behaviors are boredom, lack of motivation, attention seeking, desire for power, physiological factors, classroom setup, curriculum at an appropriate level, relationships, etc. That's a lot of factors.
Man.
Pick one of these you have experienced and share your strategy that worked or didn't. Sheesh. Sheesh.
That kid.
I went with Sophia Smart again. She was just being very smart here.
Yes.
She said, just started, but flipping the classroom has helped a bunch with boredom-related discipline issues. Would you say that's...
Can I talk about flipped classroom? Do we have time?
Sure.
I mean, we're recording this at breakfast-ish time, and I could talk to lunch.
I know you could.
But I think she's hit the nail on the head here with the flipped classroom, because it really does allow your kids to have a meaningful experience in class on things that they are struggling with.
Yeah.
So you can legit more easily differentiate when you flip your classroom and meet every student where they are, no matter what topic you're teaching.
Yeah. Well, she had a meme that went with this, so you'll have to click on the show notes to find it. But
right.
She's got... can't talk over a lecture if there's no lecture.
That's right. That's right.
That was a great meme.
It's pretty good. I went with Steve Gilliland here, who is at STV_Gilliland. He said, sometimes I find it's not the kid, it's the lesson.
Mm.
I've had a lesson or two where I've looked around and been like, we are now going to stop teaching today and try again tomorrow because this lesson sucks.
Yeah, the best laid plans, right?
Yeah, till real life.
Yeah.
Question 8. Permanently changing behaviors as tough as adults, losing weight, stopping smoking, caffeine. It takes several tries. So why do we place expectations on our students that we don't expect of ourselves?
Man, and that's another hard-hitting question. Mm. I was a cigarette smoker in life many years ago.
The
I know.
Shame.
And it was hard. It was insane.
I just lost your audio. Nope. I got it now.
Okay.
I lost you again. I don't appreciate that kind of potty language, Aaron.
How about now?
Yeah, I gotcha.
Well, but now I'm not recording with any microphones at all. Do you hear me the same?
Yeah. But okay. I hear myself, too.
Okay. Hello?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't move.
I was a cigarette.
You were a cigarette? Weird.
Don't use yours. If he loses me again, I will use yours. These are old. So I was a cigarette smoker in life a long time ago, and I told my husband, listen, I need your help. I'm going to want a cigarette. I'm going to need you to say no.
Yeah, yeah.
And I begged, I begged, and I begged, and I begged, please, just one, let me do one. And he's like, no.
Look at me, I'm dying.
I know, like, do you see this? This is not normal behavior. But then, I mean, it was insane because I was like saying, this is not normal behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you acting like this over one small little thing? And the power that they have over you is very difficult.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what that thing is that you're trying to, you know,
exactly.
So if it's that behavior, it's hard.
Yes. And so this was a very hard hitting question because she put that in there. It's tough to stop these behaviors. It really is. Anyway, I'll leave that there. Toby Brown, he said another example.
You mean
of why
at Dr. Toby Brown, Dr. Toby?
Doc Brown. He doesn't have that on there anymore. He does have PhD, but man, he was so funny when he first got it. I mean, because I called him Dr. Brown from, you know, Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Anyway, he said another example of why it's so important to build relationships with students. Consensus and shared expectations work better than top-down approach.
There's just something about giving everybody an opportunity to share.
There's something about being a doctor that makes you just so incredibly smart.
Brilliant.
That's
yeah.
a great tweet.
Think about you as a teacher. Do you like it when somebody comes in and goes, this is how you're going to do it?
No, I mean...
Because this is what I say for you?
No, I thoroughly enjoy my autonomy, you know, to be able to make failures and successes my own.
I get that we... to some extent our hands are tied with what we can do with kids, but there's a lot of freedom that we can give kids inside of our curricular areas. I went with Melinda Parks, who is at McCap Sparks, and she said and not just on students but other adults, can't expect perfection from students, teachers, and administrators. Family, friends, appreciate and assist them.
Yeah,
I mean, we're not going to be perfect. It's just not happening.
Nope, it's not. Well, question 9. What strategies do you use to increase student awareness of their choices? How do you empower students to manage their own behavior?
You got to give them. What I ended up doing with my kids was they had options to turn in homework. So you could do the old bookwork if you wanted, or you could write a blog post, or you could do a YouTube video, or you could use an iPad and some apps and create something that showed others how to do the math. So
I am employing those strategies this year. Thank you. It really, your session at iPadPalooza, the Amazeballs session, was pretty awesome.
Good. I'm glad you're
going. Several resources that I thought were great that I ended up tweeting out. I really loved the earning points and being able to ask your friend. I loved, you know, being able to. Just the different strategies you had where they could come and say, all right, I'm trading in my ticket to be able to work out in the hall and talk with a friend for 10 minutes.
Right. Some of that stuff can make class fun.
Yeah. Well, and again, probably get rid of some behavior issues. But I went with Deborah Thornton on this one again. She said, this year, I've been sitting in a circle with my students more. I haven't had as many behavioral issues this year. Mm-hmm. You know, and that goes back to that whole proximal you know, the proximity circle, I can't remember the, you know, super educational way of saying it, but if you're with your students, if you're not sitting back at the desk, if you are, you know, hovering, if you are, you know, in the mix with them,
right,
you're not going to have kids throwing paper if you're sitting there with them.
Yeah, they're not going to do it. I went with Chris Koop again. And she said, I let them reflect on their behavior, let them say why they behave that way. Then we discuss how to, quote unquote, fix it or improve it.
Yep.
So all this stuff takes time in a relationship building, man.
Yep.
Okay, question 10. Behavior management starts with positive relationships with your students. How do you maintain a positive connection with the students the most difficult to connect with? What is your motivation?
Boy, power-packed question again.
I think a lot of it just comes down to, like in my classroom, I, you know, quote-unquote, those kids, I rarely had an issue with because I would try and engage them about themselves. And not that they needed to tell me every dirty, dark secret, but to just get an idea of, hey, what are you interested in? What do you like? What do you do? What's fun?
Yeah. I feel like I do have a gift of being able to connect with people. I do think that there's a 2% that hates me, and that's fine, just because of my face or whatever. But I do think that I have a gift of being able to...
It's only your face. They had one look.
I know. Like, I don't like her. But I have a fifth grader. And I've had him for 2 years now. This is my second year with him, and I know it's the beginning of school year. But he has got, like, the driest sense of humor. And I usually get dry sense of humors. Like, he does crack me up. But I have a hard time cracking him up. Mm. And he's got this stoic face all the time. And I think, I don't know if this kid likes me. Which it's fine, I guess, if he doesn't like. No, it's not. I want him to like me because I think if he likes me, then... I know. I mean, a lot. I need to figure out a way to get to this kid or to know if I've gotten to the kid. You can't just come out and ask him. He's right. A thinker. He's a, you know. And I just wish I knew if I had this kid or if he still needs more.
Right. Some sort of body language that says,
yes,
I got you, Miss Barnes.
So I was looking through these answers and really just trying to pick apart some of these to figure out something with this kiddo. Mm-hmm. But I really liked what June Kim had to say here. He said he stayed firm, fair, consistent as possible, may take all year and into next. And that's where I'm sitting right now with this kiddo. But they see you care and won't give up on them. And I'm going to try and take June Kim here. And I got to add comedy in there because I do think that there is, I don't know, there's something to be put at ease with a little. If you're able to laugh, then you're at ease a little more. And right. So I'm throwing comedy in there. But gosh, it will take all year and into next because I'm still there. I love June Kim's tweet here.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. I went with Becky Maldonado, who is at Becky Leoshi. She said, my most difficult students are ones court ordered to be there. Acknowledging they don't want to be there is a huge first step. Yeah, if the court says you have to do something, and then you got to do it, that tends to ruffle feathers. Just like if I were to go, hey, Aaron, you have to do this tomorrow. You'd be like, oh, no, you didn't. Just use that tone with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I think if you can go, look, I know you don't want to be here. We're going to make it work. We're going to figure this out. Hey, did you go to the football game last night? Maybe that could be a lead into that.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. Well, question 11, and we don't get many question 11s. What is one thing you will change going forward? You know what? Because we don't get many question 11s, guess what?
Hey, Aaron, I'm looking at my show notes, and I see your name followed by nothing at all.
Yeah. Do you know why?
Question 11.
Go back. Yeah, well, it's question 11. I didn't know there was a question 11.
Actually, truth be told, it's like question 57.
Right. I had skipped out because I didn't realize there was a question 11, and I forgot to go back and get it here. But do you know how many people answered question 11?
There were quite a few.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There were way more people in the chat than 9.
Yeah. Questions like question 11, though, I mean, that's asking you to admit that you've got an oopsie, which can be hard
to
do.
And guess what? I have an oopsie. I'm sure I do. We all do, right?
I have oopsies all the time.
I know. I liked what Mrs. Waters said here, and I'm putting it in the show notes now because went back and pulled it up.
Okay.
And I just think we could all spend a little more time doing this. Mm-hmm. She said, I need to spend more time listening to students.
Yeah.
And I think that if we all spent a little more time doing that and focus on that, be intentional about that, then, you know, we may be able to accomplish a little bit more.
I think you're right. Listening is important. You ask a question and you close your mouth. That's
yes.
What you do. I went with Sophia Smart again, and she said, one simple change I'm going to make is greeting students at the door. Much more important than checking my email between classes. And I think that that's something that I've, for the most part, done fairly well. But I realized also that interaction at the door can sometimes be really fun. Like the one time one of my students came up, I used to have music playing in between classes, and one of my kids came up, and before he came in, we air guitared in the hallway. You know what?
That's fun.
Class was guaranteed to be great. Guaranteed double stampsies.
Yes.
So, yeah, meeting them at the door, fist bump, something. Break their bubble a little bit, but in a safe, professional, non-awkward way.
Yes, I love it. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite question, Scott? Of the 95 that were here, 95 questions presented.
Jeez,
Kim, I love you, Kim.
You made our job. I think question four was good. Think for a minute about the kid when absent that gives you a sigh of relief. Is their behavior what you thought of? What are they trying to communicate when need isn't being met? And how can you help him or her? How can you change your perception of that student? I think that's really important.
I really liked question eight, only because it's really bothered me the whole week. I mean, are almost a week from this chat. Yeah. I mean, if you have one of those behaviors that they that she listed here, yeah. And there are others, believe me, I know. Think about, I don't know, in my world, I was just trying to think about how little that one thing is. Stop smoking. How right. little is that?
Right.
And how much power it had over me. And so if you think about those little behaviors that the kids have, we have to think about how much power some of those things have over those kids. And I mean, going back to Andre's kid, you know, how much of that issue was encompassing that kiddo, and what he did was, you know, put that issue aside and just take care of the needs. And if mm-hmm. we could just do that, you know, I don't know. Those powers, those issues are bigger than we are sometimes.
Right. Yeah, sometimes.
And I just think that we don't put enough thought into what the issues are going on with the kids, because we, you know, had to wait in a car line extra long dropping off our kids. We had to, you know, clean up milk that spilled this morning. We had to, you know, we are always consumed with what happened to us. And it's hard to think about what might be going on in some of these stop smoking behaviors. And some mm-hmm. of you teachers out there, you'll know. You know exactly what we mean. And losing weight and caffeine, you know exactly what power that has over you. And if those behaviors are over a child, hello, it's going to be hard.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
So that was a very hard-hitting question.
It's toughy. All right. Yeah. So what was your boom saucer?
My boom saucer is going back to that second question. Rhonda Schroeder, very awesome. She said, ask three questions before dealing with an issue. Have you eaten? Where did you sleep last night? How did you get to school today?
Quoted and boom sauced, huh?
Quoted and boom sauced. Wow. It was a great one. I know.
It was a good one. I went. My boom sauce tweet was Stacy Romerman, who is at Stacy Arman. She goes, I stand in awe of Oakland Ed, 20 to 120 kids per day, being responsible for their behavior and education. Most lay people would run in fear.
Who is Stacy Romerman?
I believe, I could be wrong, but I think she is a, I think she's a school board person somewhere.
Okay.
So
she is
by
not
definition, a school board
teacher?
Person can't be a teacher, I think, is yeah. how the rules go.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. I am appreciative of that tweet.
I am too, because I think people don't understand exactly everything. They think it's just teaching.
Right.
People who aren't in it, looking from afar.
Yeah. No, thank you, Stacy, for that tweet.
Indeed. I'm looking up Ann Beck right now to see who our next person is, because I forgot to put it in there.
I did too. I see this.
Provide
some
filler.
I put my answers in this sheet on Monday, like the day after the tweet, because I'm always the procrastinator.
Your volume just went away again, Aaron. Wow. If only the people could see the face you just made. Because I still can't hear you. Wow, did you, Aaron?
Add some filler.
You can't say that sort of potty language on a podcast. This is for children.
Stop.
Oh my God. Oh,
stop. Okay. Anyway, I was saying, I put my answers in on Monday, trying not to be a procrastinator here, and I failed because I still missed a few things.
Yeah. You know what? It's all good. So, coming up this week is, what could Oakla Ed do for your school? Hosted by hashtag CPS Reds.
Ooh, exciting. So, This is going to be another hard one. Who do I interview for this one?
I don't know.
I suppose I should get a hold of Coach Heim today.
Yeah, may have to reach out to him. He may not be the host. I would say...
No, I know, but he'll be able to tell me who the host is.
Yeah, reach out to Coach Heim. Find out what he has to say.
I'm very excited. You know, this topic... Johnny Atchley and I were talking about this at the tweet up for iPad Palooza. He said, you know, you used to be able to throw a he thinks Okla Ed, and I hope I'm not putting words into his mouth, may have shifted a little over the last few years, and we focus on a specific topic too much instead of, like, he said that there used to be more hey, how do I get this? Or, hey, how do I fix this? And it still exists, but he'd like to see us help each other a little more like we used to. And so hopefully this chat kind of goes into that.
Instead of, like, pedagogically driven.
Sounding bored, yeah. Or you know, we sometimes resonate with each other because we are like-minded. And, you know, hopefully, I don't know. I'm excited to see what the chat's about.
Yeah, it'll be good times. Good times for sure. Yeah. And that chat will be occurring on Sunday night?
At 8 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Like every Okla Ed chat?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Ooh, that was a good one.
All right, educators, you know what to do. Go out and dominate the world.
Awesome.
Was my mouth open?
You want to look scholarly?
Okay, tell me.
That will be posted in the Twitters.
Uno momento, por favor.
I just bit your finger.
They're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.